All right, and we're back. Dad almost played some Fetus on the Wheel without me saying no. He's actually an interesting artist if you've ever listened to J.G. Thirlwell.
Well, I imagine any preborn child who happens to be on a wheel is a very interesting artist.
Every album, he actually changes the artist's name around. There's Fetus on the Wheel, Scraping Fetus Off My Shoe. He's an interesting guy. If you ever watched Venture Bros, he did all the music for that show. So he's a cool guy. He's done some cool remixes of Nine Inch Nails songs too. He's one of the fathers of like industrial after Throbbing Gristle. So really neat guy. You should all go check him out. Anyway, welcome back everyone to the second hour of Echoplex here, broadcasting live from the fourth floor of the University of Utah Student Union. No matter where you're listening to in the world, anywhere from Auckland, New Zealand to the middle of Wyoming, you're tuned in, you're here, you're going to have a good time. Although if you're in New Zealand, I think it's Monday morning for you, so good morning, as Garfield would say, I hate Mondays. If you're here in the continental United States, hello, happy Sunday to you all. And if you're over in Europe, it's pretty late. What are you doing up this late listening to my show? I'm just kidding. Please listen to my show. We're only going for another 55 minutes. Listen to it. Go to sleep to it. This is good bedtime listening. Anyway, I'm rambling on here about everyone around the world. No matter where you are, you're always welcome on my show. I've got DJ Nick's Beat here. You know, we're celebrating National Radio Day. Take advantage of it, guys. Radio Day is an important thing. Radio has always been a very important medium. I mean, if you really think about it, radio is always there. Your TV could go out, and you'll have a radio. You'll be able to tune in. During emergencies, radios are there. God forbid, if there's a war, radio will always be there, though. I mean, radio is a medium that cannot be killed. I'm saying, guys, it's an important thing. And I mean, you know, something I want to bring up. I posted this on my Facebook before coming in, but for National Radio Day, you guys should really actually go check out like the Radio Caroline stuff and the pirate radio stuff that was going on in the UK in the 60s. That stuff is fascinating because apparently in the UK they passed some radio laws where British artists, if they played their songs more than twice on the air, they'd have to re-record it or else the station would have to pay a really ridiculous fine. And it's just like, what the hell kind of a law is that? So these guys are like, screw that, we're going to go buy a boat and a transmitter, and we're going to go take this boat way off the coast of the UK, and we're just going to broadcast it into the UK. And they did that for a while until the English government decided, all right, you know what? You think you're going to get away with having advertisers buy airtime on your pirate radio station? We're going to make it illegal for any English-born citizen to do anything with that. So, yeah, go look it up. There's an NPR article on it. I'll probably tweet it. Really fascinating stuff. I kind of think, yeah, it was draconian of them to do that, but that jingle I played at the top of the hour is one that they would play. So apparently they weren't allowed to use English recorded jingles on Radio Caroline, so it all had to be American recorded stuff. So if you go like on YouTube and you listen to all the liners and stuff, it's all Americans saying, you're listening to Radio Caroline, and no one in an English accent except the DJs. The DJs were the only English part of this whole operation. The boat was registered in Belgium, or like in Holland, and the crew was Belgian or Dutch. So kind of an interesting little thing there.
And there's a great movie that came out a few years ago, I think in 2010, called, in America, it's called Pirate Radio. In the UK, it's called The Boat That Rocked.
Oh.
It's actually really good. I would highly recommend that film.
So is it on that whole topic of
the
pirate radio? That stuff's so cool. I respect them. They're the pioneers of radio. I say, you know what? If it weren't for them, I probably wouldn't be here today. Not really. If I was in the UK, though, I probably... You know what? It doesn't count because I'm online. I'm broadcasting to the world. You could be listening to me in Pyongyang and it wouldn't matter. I'm proud of you if you're listening to me in Pyongyang, by the way. Tell Kim Jong Fatty hello, but not really. And I can say that on the air because it's the radio. But online. It's the new wave of radio. Anyway, I'm rambling here. Let's play some music. What have you got lined up for us?
So, the next track I wanted to spin for you guys is a band called The Jackets, and they're from Switzerland. They're this really rad garage group. They play like freak beat meets like really, really heavy garage sort of punk stuff. And I cannot sell this this band enough. And I'm hopefully going to be seeing them on September 28th when they go to Las Vegas after the Judas show, which is what we will hopefully be seeing more of on this end of the Atlantic.
We'll talk more about that after we play the song, but here we go. The Jackets, right?
Yes, and yes, sir.
What's the track name?
This is Be Myself. It's their new single that just came out on Voodoo Rhythm Records. I wrote a review for it for Slug Magazine here in Salt Lake City. And, yeah, we're just going to play this for you, and you're going to hopefully dig it.
I like that, you know, kind of what they're doing with the tone and the sound and everything, the production on it. Like, yeah. That guitar right there, the guitar is what gets me. I'm a sucker for certain guitar tones, and that kind of hit my register of what I like. I'm kind of weird. I'm picky with tone and everything, but...
Well, it's like, it's garage rock that makes you, like, want to, you know, want to have sex, right?
It's for like, lack of a better term, yeah.
But that's what rock and roll is. It is. I mean, that's literally what rock and roll means. And that's this kind of music is like so edgy. It's so it makes you feel something, and then you hear like these bland, sort of poppy bands that don't have any like oomph to them. It just doesn't do anything for me.
I agree entirely. I mean, what you're saying, like the music has to have kind of a heart, so to speak. Like it has to have passion.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have the passion, you can tell. You can tell when it's like mass produced, like. It's almost like eating a gourmet sandwich or going to McDonald's and eating the sandwich there. You can tell the difference. Like there, you get the complex flavors, the umami, yeah. The good sandwich. Whereas you go to McDonald's, eat a Big Mac, it tastes the same everywhere, and it's mass-produced. They have a formula.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how the pop industry works anyway today. I mean, the pop industry's always worked that way, though. Like, let's not deny that.
Well, it's gotten muddled, but if you look back at, like, the 60s or the stuff that's older, like, that's, like, considered revolutionary, it makes you feel something, and all this mass-produced stuff, like, it probably makes people feel stuff, but not real. It doesn't make me feel anything.
I don't feel it. I mean, it's hard whenever I meet anyone who isn't really, really into music and they just listen to the top 40 stuff. And it's like, how do you do it? I ask them. I'm dead serious. I'm like, I know we're friends, but how do you do it? How do you listen to this? And they're like, oh, it's just, it passes the time. It's fun. And I'm like, it's not challenging me. I love being challenged by music. When music, like, comes up to me and it's like, oh, you want some, huh? I'm like, that's what I love. I love having myself challenged by what I'm listening to. Sometimes it goes a little overboard and I don't play that stuff on the air because I don't want to alienate my listeners too much. But I like getting in their face too, kind of getting edgy with the music. Show them stuff they might not have ever heard.
For sure. This next record I want to, and I, before we jump into like any glam, I want to play this, if you know the Sonics, like famous garage group from the 60s, but also has this, that oomph that makes you like feel, and it's a part of like, that wave of bands that got influenced by the British Invasion, that started playing in their garage and just played this really, really raucous rock and roll. So I think you might dig this.
I'm excited. Let's check it out.
Here's the Sonics, Have Love Will Travel.
Got a good vibe there.
It makes you feel, right?
It does. It's like what you were saying. It has that oomph. And that's what good rock and roll should have, that oomph.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, bands like, there's not a lot of bands like that, but there are certain record labels that do produce that kind of, that sound. I mean, you get Goner here in Salt Lake, in the U.S. and from Memphis. You get Slovenly, and then you've got, like, labels from Europe called like Voodoo Rhythm, and just it's all solid stuff that makes you like want to, you know, drop your pants and go at it
for lack of a better term. You know, I kind of want to show you some stuff from Japan.
You should.
That I have. So this is a song I play once in a while on the air. So this band is called Bachikaburi, and I don't know how to describe their sound. if you've ever seen Adventure Time, it's like the Ice King singing in Japanese over like some, I don't know how to describe it. This is just something that I wanted to show you for the sake of showing you. It's cool. We'll check it out. So here's Only You off of Bachikabooty's Ichi, which means one. It's a fun song. I enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
I love trying to get out there. There was a blog I found, God, when was it? 2014, 15-ish. And it was just a bunch of rare Japanese, like, 7 inches and cassettes and crap. And they uploaded a lot of stuff like this, so I'm a sucker for that. And, like, there's something that's cool about hearing that kind of music from around the world and seeing how they interpret it from us. So I wanted to show you one more artist here. So you're not familiar with R. Stevie Moore, then?
No.
So this guy is an interesting dude. Do you ever listen to, like, Ariel Pink or...
Ariel Pink?
Ariel Pink or anyone like that. Any of those lo-fi kind of artists, like Conan Moccasin?
I think I've seen Ariel Pink once. I wasn't really impressed, I hate to say.
And that's fine. But R. Stevie Moore, he was doing kind of the whole lo-fi, DIY, whatever, in the 80s. Before it was, like, a cool, hip, trendy thing like it is now.
Okay.
And he's an interesting dude. If you follow him on Twitter, half the time he types like he's a 16-year-old girl when he tweets, and it's really funny, and I think he's doing it on purpose. So he has a good sense of humor. His dad, I forget what his name was, but his dad was a big recording artist in, not Memphis, I think Nashville. Either Nashville or Memphis. And as a kid, he had access to all this recording equipment, and he'd just have fun and play music on his own and do a lot of experimental stuff. So his dad recorded like Elvis and a lot of the bigger artists from that era. I'll find his name while we're playing the song. But R. Stevie Moore went off, did his own thing. He's put out a few albums recently. He did one with Ariel Pink. Mm. I wasn't too wowed by it. I like his older stuff, like Glad Music, what I'm going to play right now. I love it. It's a masterpiece of an album. So here's I Like to Stay Home off of Glad Music.
Yeah. Hey, this is DJ Solar.
Hey, this is DJ Xenophile.
This is DJ Just Jeff.
This is Stavo Stilo.
This is a player named Stu.
And you are listening to Cayute Radio.
Cayute Radio.
Cayute Radio.
Radio for you.
From the University of Utah.
Hey, this is DJ Solar.
Hey, this is DJ Xenophile.
This is DJ Just Jeff.
This is Stavo Stilo.
This is a player named Stu.
And you are listening to Cayute Radio.
Cayute Radio.
Cayute Radio.
Radio for you.
From the University of Utah.
I'm the dust on the moon. I'm the trash in the sewer. Let's go.
You're listening to KU Radio, all hip hop from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Hip Hop Drip. All your favorites, new favorites, and soon to be favorites.
Hip-hop. Hip means to know. It's a form of intelligence. To be hip is to be up, date, and relevant. Hip is the knowledge. Hop is the movement. Hip and hop is intelligent movement or relevant movement. We selling the music.
This summer, the Salt Lake City Arts Council and title sponsor Salt Lake Community College proudly present the 2017 Twilight Concert Series, starting July 20th through August 30th. Join us at Pioneer Park for the weekly Thursday night concerts featuring everything from rock and indie music to hip-hop, rap, and everything in between. As part of the Twilight Concert Series' 30-year milestone celebration, we welcome back Twilight alum and Jimmy Fallon's house band, The Roots, on August 30th. Mark your calendars, invite your friends, and get ready for an unforgettable summer. Advance tickets on sale now at 24tix.com or at any Graywell CD locations.
Hey man, welcome to the store. How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm just looking for some music.
Oh, dude, you're looking for some new music? That's awesome. We got stuff for you right here. Look, I got some rock music for you. Some alternative metal.
Alternative metal? Come on, man. We gotta show them sludge metal.
Sludge metal? Man, dude, just get into hip hop.
Ooh, wait. What about this one? You guys have remixes too?
Wait, we have that?
I didn't even know that was in our stock. Huh.
Well, this is the Midday Mix, so I mean, if you want it, we got it.
Exactly. Tune in every weekday from 11 to 1 here on KU Radio.
Radio for students, by students.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's your boy, Father Cactus, letting y'all know about Crucial Fest 7. It's an all-ages music festival happening at the Gateway over Labor Day weekend, September 2nd to the 3rd. Artists include The Growlers, STR, FKR, Aesop Rock, Minus the Bear, Built to Spill, Pinback, Baroness, Red Fang, Sales, The Frights, and many more. Tickets are on sale now at crucialfest.com, so get yours before they're gone. We'll be there. Will you be?
TRV, are you ready?
Yes.
All you do is say your name, Kate Radio, and something funny.
Okay, I can do that.
I am. Should
we go now?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
No.
You better hurry.
Yeah, okay, hi, it's
I'm so groovy. I got power. I'm so groovy.
What the fuck? Wherever you go. Station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
I'm sure that your portable radio now, though, is just your phone. Anyway, welcome back. We're in the last half hour of the show. It just flies.
Yeah. When you're having fun, right?
Exactly. When you're having fun on air, time just flies by, and then you're like, oh, really? The 2 hours are up? Come on. And then you get to listen to Nick's show. And Nick has a great show. You guys should check it out. It's after my show at 5. the Sunday Hub. He does it 5 to 11. What a trooper. I wonder if he's going to have a back-to-school special. Maybe. We'll have to see. Anyway, what do you have queued up here?
This is another glam record, just like the Judah one that we just listened to. And if you don't know, Judah's doing a West Coast, a U.S. tour in September, and they're going to be playing Las Vegas. And you definitely should go if you like that track. It's a wild show. It's probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. I've definitely traveled out of the state for them. I was fortunate enough to see them in London in 2011 at their debut London show at the 12 Bar, which is was, I should say, a rock and roll bar that is no longer. It got closed down in, due to gentrification in Soho, which is really, really too bad. But I'm going to be... I got asked by DJ Fish down in Las Vegas to join him in DJing for Judah. And you bet your ass I said yes.
Very cool. So where are they playing out in Vegas?
They're playing the Bunkhouse, which is just off of Fremont Street.
Neat.
It's definitely worth the trip. It'll change your life. If you don't like glam, this will turn you on to glam rock. And this next track that I got on here is Jinx, I Saw Your Face. Fun, right?
That is. Guys, go listen to more glam. I mean, if you listen to my show, I bet you listen to glam. If you listen to New Wave, you have to listen to glam.
That was, yeah. Well, New Wave is, I mean, and goth music, anything in the 70s and 80s is influenced by glam.
Yep.
Glam has a defining influence on, like, all forms of music. It's just not as widely appreciated here in the States as it could be.
And I'm wondering, I bet that's just an American thing, because, I mean, in the 70s, you kind of saw, like, what happened with the way they treated disco. What was it? Disco Night or whatever? Do you remember that?
Saturday Night Fever?
No, not the movie. When they had the Disco Destruction Night at a Chicago White Sox game. Did you ever hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're going to love this story. So, yeah. Late 70s, I think it was 77 or 78, the Chicago White Sox, like, no one cares about them. It's all about the Cubs. I'm not wearing my Cubs hat, but anyway, you know the fact that the Cubs are the better team, but the Chicago White Sox are having like a very big lag in sales. So they contacted this guy, I forget the rock station in Chicago, but it's still around, and they asked him, hey, would you do something for us? Because they tried bringing in a bunch of like crazy acts for their baseball games to draw crowds in. Like they'd bring fire breathers and whatever, you know, all the circus acts and everything. And they asked him, hey, could you think of a cool promo night for our baseball game? And the guy thought, you know what? Disco Destruction Night. Let's do it. And the whole concept of it was, if you brought a disco record to you to the Chicago White Sox game, they'd let you in for 50 cents. We're going to play that. We're totally going to have to play that after this story. But they'd let you into the game for 50 cents if you brought in a disco record. And they put it in this giant pile, and they blew it up in the middle of the stadium. So it was a doubleheader game. First game played. Everyone's, you know, getting all boozed up, excited. No one was there for the baseball game. Anyway, the guy came out from the rock station. They blew up the disco records, and the crowd just swarms the field and goes crazy. And they tried clearing the crowd out of the baseball stadium, and no one was leaving. And what's-his-face, Harry Caray, the guy that was, like, the famous announcer for the Cubs, he did it for the White Sox, and he just kept saying, no one's leaving the field. We're trying to get the idea to them that the fact that they're on the field is going to make the White Sox forfeit the game. No one cared. Everyone came to destroy disco records. And it was apparently like the worst, one of the worst nights in MLB history. But from a music standpoint and being a radio DJ, it just shows you the chaos that we can create as DJs. Disco Destruction Night. I want to have EDM Destruction Night. Could you imagine how fun that would be?
Oh, I would. I'd probably take a shotgun and start blowing up things, honestly.
Guys, I have a great idea. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? EDM Destruction Night. Bring in EDM CDs or whatever. We'll just blow it up.
Yeah, a lot of kids with multicolored headbands and things would probably lose their minds.
Yesterday, I went to a P.F. Chang's. I had a gift card from work. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like P.F. Chang's, but this is a gift card. Let's go eat. Went with my buddy. We went to park in this public parking lot downtown. There are these guys that were going to Das Energy or whatever, that EDM festival that they were hosting over the weekend. And they were just blasting dubstep in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, you poor, poor souls.
Probably ruins your appetite.
You'll outgrow it. I went through the phase, I'll admit. When I was in high school, I was like, I like this, guys. I regret it. I've apologized. I feel like I've atoned myself. I've been, what's the term? I've been forgiven for my sin of listening to all that EDM. No disrespect to the EDM team here at KU, by the way.
As we've just completely rattled on about how EDM sucks for the last 2 minutes. No offense to you guys.
Yep.
At all.
Disco sucks too. Some disco, I'll argue. I like the the European stuff's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Boney M's really good. Some BG songs I like. ABBA's great.
Giorgio Moroder and what's his face? I forget. Black Devil Disco Club. This guy was out of France. His music sounded like it was from, I'd say, the early 2010s.
Yeah.
And it was like totally electronic disco with like all synths and everything. And what Aphex Twin, I forget what his real name is, but he has a label. And they actually re-released that Black Devil Disco Club album because he's like, this is amazing. Why hasn't this been re-released? And so they repressed it a few years ago because it was a really rare album prior to that. Anyway, you're going to play Disco, what is it?
This is Disco Men by The Damned.
Disco Men.
Done. control. Just forget you're on the dole. Like, who are you taking for a ride?
This car man.
Better to run or else to hide.
Worst in the land.
This car man.
A one night stand.
This car man.
You know, it's funny, while we were playing that song, I was showing Nyx over here just footage of Disco Demolition Night. What a wonderful night. Well, maybe not for baseball. If you're a baseball fan, you might not be too happy, especially if you're a White Sox fan. Go Cubs! But, yeah. Just kind of, if you're a radio host, you can create chaos, guys. Just know that. You have the power. You have the power to ignite chaos. Anyway, we have Mr. Ramos, who just walked into the studio with... I'm so bad with names. I know your face. Yeah, you can talk into that, okay, Mike. Sweet.
Yeah, I'm AJ Bull. I was here with Nick Ramos last week, actually, and we played some tunes, and it was a bonkers time.
AJ's got a good radio voice.
He does.
I'm gonna have
Everybody
to say.
Says that to me, and I thank you for the compliment, but it's at a certain point, I just get like, well, like I should have gotten into radio then.
It's a good thing you work on student media.
Yeah,
for sure.
Welcome
for sure.
to student media.
Thank you.
I don't really have a radio voice, guys. I have an annoying voice.
Yeah, you've got a radio voice.
It's a good enough voice for radio. I mean, my face isn't good for TV, so that's why I'm in radio, because I'm ugly.
You got a good face for radio?
I have a good face for radio, you can say.
Here you go. There's like a million like sketch artists going, like drawing you as like this like chiseled jaw man. It's
like, no, like, I believe you're beautiful, George. And it's like, you're beautiful on the inside. And it's like, yeah, this is totally what I look like on the inside, right? Okay.
I'm
send
like
pictures. Send us pictures to the Union Building of what you think George looks like.
Please do. Mail us sketches. It's like, what's his face? Thomas Pynchon, that author. I don't want anyone to know what I look like outside of student media. So just, you have to guess what I look like. All
right, just don't look at my Instagram, because I've taken a couple of photos. But you can send it to what's the email that people send it to?
g.canalis@kuteradio.org.
Right, send it there.
Yeah, and then whoever wins will get to come on the air and we'll roast you. Nick's Beat and I'll invite Nick's Beat on and we'll just say, look at this person. They think I look good. How funny is that? Not really, though. I'll probably compliment you and let you host a show, maybe. I should start doing that. I should start just giving people my show as a prize. You want to come run my show for a day? Come run my show for a day. I'll host a contest. You know what? Contest, guys. New contest for Echoplex. If you want to come host my show.
You have to guess what George looks like.
You have to guess what I look
draw
like.
It
draw it.
In MS Paint.
And mail it in a prepaid envelope.
You can use whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't care. Just mail it CO Student University of Utah Student Media 200. What's our address?
Just write George on the envelope.
Just write George.
It in there.
Write George.
The UP or the USPS will know.
The USPS knows me. It's like Santa Claus. When you write a letter to Santa Claus, you just write Santa Claus. They're like, oh, I know where he lives.
It's gotta be very flattering, though.
It is.
It's gotta be a very flattering like picture.
It has to be. I have to look like a radio god. You have to make me look like the god of radio, because I kind of am. I am your god. Over, not really.
Oh, I pray to you every night.
Thank
you.
You
not hear me?
I'm
your producer, dude.
You tell me I've been praying to you this whole time and you haven't heard a single one of my prayers.
I've heard your prayers. See, being your producer, I am your God, but not really.
Oh, okay, thank God.
I'm immortal.
I mean, thank you.
Thank you. So what do you have lined up here?
Oh, man. I don't know if I could follow that. But this is the Stranglers, Nice and Sleazy. And this is for the ladies and all the other wonderful people who get a kick out of this shit.
Yes, we did it.
The West Sea, we didn't have much idea of the kind of climate waiting. We used our hands for guidance, like the children of a preacher, like a dry tree seeking water, or a daughter. Nice and sleazy, nice and sleazy does it. Does it every time? Nice and sleazy, does it every time? Does it every time? Nice and sleazy. Does it every time? Had no halo, had no father, with a coat of many colors. He spoke of brothers many, wine and women, song of plenty. He began to write a chapter in his story. Nice and sleazy does it. Does it every time.
Very interesting conversation that we got into. We talked about the opioid epidemic, and then it turned into criticism on the war on drugs and how it is a racist piece of action that our government partakes. And I absolutely agree with that.
Partakes, it bloody enhances.
Yeah.
Sponsors, even.
Sponsored by the federal government, brought to you by Ronnie Reagan.
Good old Ronnie Reagan.
Old Ronnie Regs.
The whole Just Say No campaign also was a bit of a problem, just because it doesn't like actually endorse any kind of education either.
The Just So You Know campaign?
No, the Just Say No. That was Nancy Reagan that started that.
Just
or
say
she
no.
was a big proponent of it, at least. And the idea is that if you get offered drugs, like, just say no.
Right.
Right. And so, like, that doesn't really help people who are like addicted to get to drugs get clean. It doesn't like introduce you to like what can happen to your life, like, you know, like also we were just talking about, like, you know, heroin ruins your life. And so like if you're in a just say no mentality, it's not going to,
you're not going to see what the ramifications of the drugs
right
are.
And I'm not saying do heroin to see what the consequences
don't
are.
Please don't.
Like, when we turn a blind eye to things like the opioid epidemic in in Utah, and especially in Salt Lake City, they have this thing called Operation Rio Grande going on. That name scares me a little bit, just because the Rio Grande District is kind of this... there's a lot of homeless people there. Mm-hmm. And when you say Operation Rio Grande, that makes me think you're going to go in there and, like, do some shit to the homeless people.
Well, that's what they're doing.
That is what they're doing.
They're, like, rounding up the homeless people and, like, kicking them out. And, like, you know, you're not really solving the homeless issue. That way you're just... You're just, you know, Patrick style, just taking that problem and moving it somewhere else.
Did you ever see the South Park episode on that?
No.
They did a whole episode
about... Oh, yeah, they moved the... He's like...
They moved them all to California, and it's like, that's kind of how it works. I had a buddy from Hawaii, and they have a big homeless situation there, because apparently cities here on the mainland will buy plane tickets, one-way plane tickets for the homeless populations, and just fly them to Hawaii, because they know that they're not going to freeze to death in the winter. And it's like... When you think of the reality of that, that's pretty fucked up. Like, yeah. I'm not going to mince words there. That is fucked up beyond all belief.
Especially considering our history with Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, a lot of people in Hawaii still don't want to be a state, actually. Like,
oh, absolutely.
We
There's
Hawaii
a whole movement.
Being a state.
There's a whole movement in Hawaii about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, God, it's all coming full circle. We're closing out the show, discussing a lot of the politics that we were discussing at the opening. Kind of the racism that we're seeing in this country currently. With legitimate fascists walking the streets of the United States without flinching.
Well, they're flinching now.
Well, they're obviously now.
Did you see the video of the guy who, like, took off his neo-Nazi T-shirt? And he's like, whoa, I didn't come here to fight or anything. It's like, do you know what Nazis do?
Exactly. It's like, I mean, Charlottesville. I was bringing this up earlier in the show. In the 90s, a lot of these groups are kind of really emboldening themselves, especially after the Waco siege, if any of you know about that, when David Koresh, he was a very far-right Branch Davidian, his own branch of Christianity that was kind of really out there, and the ATF was going after his compound in Texas, and allegedly he burned down the compound, and there were women and children in there, and a lot of people died because the government was trying to starve him out. A lot of people that were extreme on the right saw this as, oh, look at that. The federal government killed American citizens. And that's actually what led Timothy McVeigh to do the Oklahoma City bombing, which prior to 9/11 was one of the biggest terrorist attacks done on the United States. So in the United States, the whole terrorism threat, I mean, I would say in modern times, in the recent.
It's not as though, like, and I think we talked about this on a different show, bombings have happened before.
Right.
They have in the 70s with the Weather Underground and all the other kinds of groups.
Oh, exactly.
But on a federal, but like a white supremacist bombing a federal building, that was kind of new.
And with children. There were children who died in Oklahoma City. I mean, what year were you guys born? I was born,
97.
I was born right.
97.
90.
I was born right before it. You were probably five or six when that happened.
Well, I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember it either, but I mean.
I was paying attention to politics at 5 years old.
But I mean, like, it's just frightening, like, in my lifetime, kind of how that emboldened a lot of those groups. And then they kind of, they've been there, just hiding in plain sight. And now that we have We You Know Who in the White House, they're coming out. They're finally saying, we're here, we're going to make a stance. But obviously, after what happened, they're flinching now. They're seeing that we're not going to accept that. We're not going to accept fascism in the United States.
I would say they're flinching, but they're not backing off. They're still going to try to do, try and pursue their agenda, and, you know, which is, if anyone knows what a Nazi is or white supremacist, basically includes ethnic cleansing. That's what they're still going to try and do it. They're still feeling emboldened by a person in the White House or an administration that is, you know, more or less backing them.
Exactly. Someone who's Latinx.
So people still need to.
It's scary. It's scary. You need to take a stand for it. I mean, take a stand against it.
Yeah.
You need to organize. You need to rally against fascism in all forms. Fascism is a very dangerous specter that haunts our country. It's there. Call it out when you see it, guys. If you ever see it, call it out. Be brave. Be a voice. Start dialogues in your own community and just bring it up. You need to keep this going. I think what's happening here, the Band-Aid's being ripped off. And I'm hoping this starts a big discussion on race in the United States. I mean, how many times have we said that it's going to start? It's going to start. It's going to start.
I think it starts a big conversation about race, and it also raises the stakes.
It absolutely does.
I feel like a lot of people will just say, well, I don't have to worry about it because I'm white.
Exactly.
Or I don't have to worry about it because I'm black and I don't experience racism. And or I don't have to worry about it for whatever X, Y reason. But now we're reaching a point where it's like, it doesn't matter
exactly.
Who you are.
They showed.
You have to worry about it.
They showed in Charlottesville, when he drove into that crowd, they were showing. Those groups were showing. They want to silence anyone that opposes them. You need to take a stand against them. These are domestic terrorists, guys. I'm not going to mince words. I view them on the same exact level is ISIS. I'm getting really impassioned about this because it's upsetting.
It really is.
It's upsetting beyond all belief to see this happening in the United States of America. But you know what? We're going to take a stand against it. Do not let these terrorists win. That is what they are. Neo-Nazis are terrorists, and they should be classified as such. I wish that the Trump administration would label them as that. But obviously, with Mr. Jeff Sessions as Attorney General and saying things like, and I'm quoting here, I'm paraphrasing what he said, the Klan isn't so bad, but I don't like that they use marijuana. That is worrisome. That should scare you, the fact that he said that. I'm going to close this off, and I just want to say, Nazi punks, fuck off. We're going to close off with some of the Clash here. I'm really impassioned right now. Guys, be a voice in your community. Make this semester a powerful one here at the U, and stand up against fascism. Thank you for tuning in. Here's the Clash.